Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
On the November edition of Doc Talk, I have the pleasure of speaking with Tricia Maloney. She is the diabetes educator, and this is Diabetes Awareness Month, so we thought we'd talk to Tricia about diabetes. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, George. I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you. And we like to get people started, especially if we haven't done a segment with you before. We like to find out kind of your background and what got you started. Where are you from originally?
I am originally from Nebraska. And
are you a Cornhusker fan?
I am. I think it's a requirement. I'm
okay.
Pretty sure it's in the DNA.
Well, that's good. That's good. Good teams. So you're from Nebraska. So you spent your school years there, your early years?
Yes. And, and then out of high school, I joined the Army and was in for about 14 years. And then that kind of took me all over the place. And when I got out, we settled on Oregon and we've been here for about 10 years now.
So when you went into the Army, did you follow a medical direction there, or did you have a different MOS?
I didn't. I actually started as a radio operator, and then I kind of switched over to lab tech, and then I ended with as a supply maintenance warehouse.
What branch?
All over the place.
What branch of the military were you in?
Army.
Okay. All right. Because I know that. My stepson was in the Air Force, and he wanted to switch jobs. They wouldn't let him, so he got out and went into the Army.
Yes, the Army will let you switch jobs anytime. Well, not anytime. But
yeah. So what got you into diabetes education?
Well, I decided to go back to school for a dietitian, registered dietitian, and I went to OSU, so Oregon State, and then did my internship through Oregon Health and Science University. And going into diabetes, it was just one of those during the internship. It was one of the areas that I really was interested in. I enjoyed working with the people. I enjoyed working with just helping people understand the disease itself, be able to learn how to manage it a little easier. And so, yeah, it was just an interest that kind of grew in me.
Because I was wondering, because a lot of people usually have a sense when they, somewhere along their teen years or early 20s, that they go, okay, this is what I've always wanted to do. But obviously after 14 years in the military, you probably had a wide variety of things that you were exposed to during that period.
I did. And nutrition's always been an interest to me. It's one of those things that when it comes to either the health and wellness of your body, how changing small things in your eating habits can have huge impacts on your life. And so that's always been a kind of hobby of mine before. And then so well, become a dietitian just seemed like the next step.
Right. Well, before we get into the diabetes aspect, let me ask you a couple of questions and about, you know, just the dietary part of it. Obviously, okay. There must be some things that you studied or looked into about availability of nutritional aspects of food. Did you delve much into that on, like, the food today versus the food that we used to eat?
As far as, like,
nutritional value, yeah.
Or available, yeah. As in
nutrition,
people can get to it.
Nutrition availability.
Okay, well, and there's, I have a little bit, I'm definitely not an expert on that aspect, but there have been kind of changes over the years as far as nutrients that are in the soil level when the food is grown. It definitely has an impact on what nutrients are in those foods. So when you have areas that are overproduced or overharvested, the nutrients are leached out of the soil. So the things that are grown there are going to be less nutritious than they are in healthier soil.
So I'm guessing there is some benefit then to something. Is there a benefit to something more organic or versus less organic, or is that something that marketing has fooled us in?
Well, there's not a whole lot of. I mean, you can have conventional farming that has very healthy soil. They, you know, take very good care of it and make sure that the nutrients are there. So as far as nutrition goes, you can get, you know, the same nutrition value from organic versus conventional. For many of the other stuff, like when it comes to pesticides and things like that, there's science on both sides and there's no definitive answer yet. So right.
That's one of those things.
I usually tell people, go with what you're comfortable with. Right. And
all right. I'm speaking with Tricia Maloney. She's a diabetes educator at Peace Health, and we'll be back with more on this edition of Doc Talk.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
At some point in her life, one out of every 8 women will get breast cancer. 1 out of 8. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better Total Care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I have the pleasure of speaking with Tricia Maloney, the diabetes educator at Peace Health. And Tricia, can you talk to me about the different types of diabetes and what, if anything, differentiates the types or separates the types?
Sure. So, there are actually many different types of diabetes, but as far as kind of the most common or most known is usually between type 1 and type 2. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease. It's usually that something goes wrong in the pancreas and your body is no longer producing insulin. And so in order to be able to use calories efficiently, you have to have artificial insulin that you take as an injection.
But we don't know. We don't know really what causes the autoimmune deficiency in the pancreas, do we? Or are they figuring
right.
that out?
No, those are. There are several ideas as far as whether it's a genetic thing or if environment plays a part into it. That's one of the things that is still very much so being looked into and trying to figure out and how we can prevent things like that. But as of right now, no answers yet.
So that's type 1 diabetes, and you said mentioned type 2 diabetes. What's the difference with that?
Right. So type 2 diabetes kind of becomes all the other types of diabetes lumped into one. But it's generally developed over time, usually, you can have issues as far as, you know, the person's pancreas is having issues and no longer producing insulin. You can have problems that even if they're producing insulin, their body is just not responding well to it. There are kind of other hormones that are not being produced exactly the way that they should. So, but the end result is that the glucose isn't able to get into the system. So it causes high blood sugars. And so that's kind of a very, very brief overview.
This is a broad definition there.
Exactly. So
is type 2 diabetes something that can be managed with diet or not necessarily?
Absolutely. There are definitely lifestyle changes, diet and exercise. There are people who can manage it. There are other conditions as far as with type 2 diabetes that do require medication, insulin. And so it's a very, again, very broad spectrum as far as how type 2 diabetes affects a person. So it's generally more, you know, individualized for as far as treatment, but absolutely diet and exercise can have a huge impact.
Are there warning signs or are there precursors or things that people can look for before maybe actually going to the doctor to be diagnosed?
There are some signs and symptoms as far as, but they can get, if diabetes, especially if it runs in your family, if it's kind of a genetic thing, that is definitely something you want to pay attention to and be aware of. The people who are overweight have a much higher chance of developing diabetes. And so, but there's not always the exact same signs and symptoms. Some people are diagnosed because they dealt with weight loss because of diabetes. Some people it's weight gain. With others, it's extremely low blood sugars, and some it's extremely high blood sugar. So it can be difficult to identify just symptoms to look out for. It's usually just better to make sure you're seeing your provider, your physician, once a year or so, and having them kind of look over your labs and make sure that everything is okay.
A person that has type 2 diabetes, can they be all over the spectrum as far as high blood sugar, low blood sugar, or are they usually one or the other on a regular basis?
Oh no, yes, they can have some that are only one, they can have some that are only the other, and they can have some that are all over the place. So it's, like I said, it's very, very wide spectrum as far as how the disease affects each individual person. Yeah. I'm not sure that definitely helps, but
right,
as far as answering.
What about, let's talk a minute here about gestational diabetes, because that's something that doesn't occur in every pregnancy, but it is a potential for that to happen. What are some of the things that happen during that period that bring on? Is it stress related? Is it dietary related?
It can be all of the above. It can be stress related. It could be something that's with genetics. It could be diet related as well. Again, it's one of those things for pregnancy. There's usually what they call a glucose tolerance test that is given that makes it easier to diagnose if something's going on as far as during the pregnancy, so they can diagnose the gestational diabetes.
Now, if a woman hadn't had a test prior to that, is there a way to differentiate whether it's just gestational diabetes or it's something that's been ongoing with them?
They wouldn't necessarily know until maybe after the pregnancy, because a lot of times after the pregnancy, the gestational diabetes will go back to normal. If it's an ongoing thing, then it might not necessarily. So that may be the only time that they know whether or not it's gestational or long-term type 2 diabetes.
Okay. I'm speaking with Tricia Maloney. She is a diabetes educator at Peace Health, and we are going to be back in just a moment with more on this edition of Doc Talk.
some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I have the pleasure of speaking with Tricia Maloney. She is educating me on diabetes because she is the diabetes educator at Peace Health. And I always love these segments, Tricia, because it gives me an opportunity to, you know, kind of find out things that I thought I knew that maybe weren't true. And so let's get into a little bit about
Great.
That.
Great. Glad to help.
Now, obviously, you know, there's the diabetes things has to do with your blood sugar. But is it actually sugar, or is it something else in the system that's going awry there?
Again, this will be a kind of
broad
overall explanation. But basically, like when you're eating carbohydrates, your body breaks them down into glucose, and insulin is, we'll go with kind of a, it's a key to help unlock the cell and allow the glucose in. And sometimes if the insulin is not there, or if for some reason the cell is resistant, which means, you know, maybe the lock is broken, then that glucose doesn't actually get into the cell to be used as energy, to be used as food. Kind of. So it floats around in the bloodstream, which can cause heart issues, kidney issues, issues with your veins. It's kind of a mild corrosive to the body if it's in your bloodstream too much, too long, instead of being in your cells where your body needs it.
Now, we hear about the term, we hear good carbs versus bad carbs. But is it just too many carbs, good or bad, bad for you?
Like anything else,
You preach moderation, right?
Exactly. I don't necessarily think that there's anything that is a good food or a bad food. It's even a nutritious, healthy food, and eating it too much can be bad for you. So it's always about moderation. It's about getting that healthy balance, making sure that your foods are nutritious, and that you're getting all the vitamins and minerals that your body needs to work properly. And then, so they're in, there are many ways to go about doing it. There is no one right diet for
diabetes.
Right. It's, you know, it's different ways that we can work around things, different ideas to come up with, and a lot of variety that we can put into a diet that for somebody who has diabetes.
So back to sugar again, because mm-hmm. I mean, I think most people would agree that sugar can be addictive. Maybe that's, but what kind of things do you discuss with individuals with diabetes about the danger that sugars pose to them, that different than carbs, but like, you know, someone who, you know, eats a lot of candy, or someone, you know, who eats a lot of cake or pie. I mean, are there things that you talk to them about versus maybe someone who's, you know, got more grains that they eat?
Absolutely like to focus on nutrition and which foods are going to be better options. If somebody enjoys candy or cakes, you know, we can always try to work with finding a lower sugar version, you know, or a sugar-free version that if they don't necessarily mind, that they can kind of switch over to. So they're not missing out on something that they enjoy. They can just find maybe a possibly healthier version. And if that's not an option, we can always, you know, work around trying to minimize how much candy they're eating, or the cakes and, you know, and try to maybe limit it to one piece a day instead of five or six. So it really depends on the person and how intense their addiction is to the candies and cakes and cookies, and figuring out a way to work around still having a diet that you can enjoy, but without causing yourself so many issues with the sugars.
Well, I have a couple of friends that have diabetes, and they tend to dip into the candy on a regular basis. And I've had one time, well, I'm trying to regulate my blood sugar. I'm trying to regulate, you know, so I don't have too many highs or too many lows. Is that an excuse or to just eat sugar, or is that something that is happening in the body that is actually going on?
Well, yes, if there are issues with lows, then we generally recommend things like Smarties or a cup of juice, something that is pure sugar and that is very fast.
So not absorb. A Snickers bar, right? I just want to verify this, because I know they're listening.
Well, the issues with the Snickers bar is that it has both fat and protein in it. And fat and protein, when you're eating with the carbs, can actually slow down how fast your body absorbs it. So if you're dealing with a low blood sugar, something that has fat and protein in it is really not the best first option.
So more sugar, less of the other.
Right. If you're dealing with a low blood sugar, you want that instant sugar to bring it back up quickly and make sure, you know, if you're eating something afterwards to maintain that, then that's when you want to add in the protein and the fat to help sustain that blood sugar.
Because, you know, like you watch television and you see the commercials on there, and they don't specifically say a person has diabetes, but they show the person gets cranky and their energy levels are down, and they hand them a Snickers bar and everything's fine after that. But that's just marketing, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk quickly about diabetes in youth. How does that differ from adult onset diabetes?
It doesn't necessarily. Okay. It's, you know, as far as they're usually just different teaching methods, different complications or issues that may arise. But, you know, as far as youth can develop type 1 diabetes, which is kind of the most common, but they can also develop type 2 diabetes. So it really, again, depends on what's going on with that person and identifying it quickly, making sure that we are getting in the proper education based on what's going on with them.
But on occasion, a youth can... Is it the proper term to say outgrow it or grow out of it, a certain types?
I don't know if it would be necessarily growing out of it. But there are ways that a person can maintain between diet and exercise and basically keep their blood sugars down and have a healthy life where they would not have any complications or problems with diabetes. So they can kind of continue a normal life just going off of diet and exercise alone.
But they would still have to maintain some sort of regimen or be tested or at certain periods in their life.
And they could be, but it wouldn't necessarily have to. If they've gone, you know, a few years and everything seems to have normalized, then they might be, you know, checking every few years after that. And then, you know, it wouldn't have to be a strict regimen, just kind of a, you know, keeping an eye on it just in case things get out of hand again, or if they start having any other complications.
Now, I guess there's, I'm thinking this is a misnomer. You can correct me or you can validate it, that, you know, heavy set people have diabetes, thin, healthy people don't have diabetes. That's just sort of not true, right? I mean, there might be propensities for it, but a skinny, healthy looking person can have diabetes.
Absolutely. You know, it's like any other disease. It doesn't necessarily matter who you are or what you look like. You can still develop this disease. There are definitely things that can increase your risk, and being overweight can increase your risk, but that does not mean that if you are overweight that you are definitely going to get diabetes, or that if you are not overweight you are definitely safe from diabetes. It's definitely a misnomer as far as one of the bigger misconceptions with diabetes.
All right, so we're almost done. We have to kind of wrap up. Let's talk a little bit about diet and exercise and stress. Does stress come into diabetes at all? I imagine it does.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, anytime your body's in stress, it can kind of go into what we like to call the fight or flight mentality. So you're dumping blood sugar to give you that energy to run or to fight.
Right.
And high stress levels can absolutely impact your blood sugar and different illnesses. Anything that puts stress on the body can absolutely have an impact on it. And at that same time, exercise itself is going to help lower stress levels, which again lowers blood sugar levels. Exercise itself gives the blood sugars another avenue to enter the cells that does not require insulin. So that can help lower blood sugars. Even something as small as a 10-minute walk after meals can help lower blood sugars. Absolutely. With the stress, getting your mind off of things, just giving your body a way to vent. And diet is, again, going to play a huge part in that. We're always recommending fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and those foods that are high in nutrients and lower in carbs. Lower in calories overall are going to be much healthier, give your body the nutrients that it needs, and give it that ability to help maintain those blood sugars without pushing them too high or having them fall too low.
All right. As we mentioned, this is Diabetes Awareness Month. Is there anything that's happening at the hospital for folks that they can sign up to learn more about this?
Absolutely. So we have diabetes educators, myself included, that we do appointments, we do classes. The classes have been put on hold due to COVID at the moment, but we do the class material just on an individual level. And highly recommend anybody who has not gone through these classes to give a call to your provider and have them, if you have diabetes and you want to just learn more, whether it's about insulin levels, lifestyle changes, diet and exercise, any of those, or if you're somebody who has pre-diabetes, we can work with them as well, just finding ways to help prevent it from turning into diabetes. So, absolutely. Talk to your providers, have them put in referrals, and definitely come and see us.
Tricia Maloney is the diabetes educator at Peace Health. Tricia, thank you so much for your time today. It's a lot of good information, and I have some ammunition now to use against my friends who like to pick on the candy.
All right. Well, thank you. And hey, if your friends want to learn some more information, definitely have them come and see me as well.
I will definitely do that. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.